Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Dan Flores. His new book is Wild New World, the epic story of animals and people in America. The Clovis culture, so-called because of where it was identified, the tools were suggestive of a developing culture, is important first to establish where the sites are. And Dan's book wonderfully gives us a map of what's been found so far. They're more defined. And these are between around 13,000 years ago. There's speculation that human beings, as we, the modern human beings, were here before them. But it's important to establish why Clovis matters. Dan, it's the tools, it's the hunting skills, it's the remains of the sites. Is that why we key on that 13,000 years ago?
It really is all those things you mentioned. As you referred to, we do believe, or pretty convinced, in fact, by a set of footprints found in southern New Mexico just 4 or 5 years ago, that people did get here even before the glacial maximum 23,000 years ago. But it looks as if their populations were really small. And one of the reasons we think that is because when the Clovis migration happens, and it happens when the ice sheets in North America open sufficiently to allow an overland migration out of Siberia into what is now Canada and the lower 48 states of the U.S., when that happens, this migration takes place with such rapidity that it implies that there's not really anyone in the way of us. There's not really anyone that's slowing down this Clovis movement from all the way from Alaska to the tip of Tierra del Fuego, which happens in a space of time of probably only 3 centuries. So in what is now the United States and Alaska and Canada, this Clovis culture is the first human culture that spreads coast to coast in America. It's present for more than 3 centuries, longer than the United States has existed, for example, and it exerts a profound influence on the Pleistocene world that these people find. In effect, at the end of their 3 centuries, North America has changed drastically in terms of kind of ecological simplifications.
Yes, it's called the American extinction. Large mammals disappeared. And Dan, you mentioned this could have happened all within 1,000 years. So this is first contact, the Clovisian culture with weapons. And were they surplus killing? I think that's the term that's correct.
Well, there's a story I tell in this chapter, which I call Clovisi of the Beautiful, for obvious reasons. It's sort of the first American culture, as I mentioned. There's a story I tell in the chapter of a band of Clovis hunters, and I tell this story primarily to describe how professional they seem to be at doing this. They surrounded in southern Arizona, south of today's Tucson, a herd of mammoths that consisted of a bull, a cow, as far as we can tell, and 13 adolescents and calves. This group of Clovis hunters killed all 13 adolescents and calves with one point in each, 13 points in each of those animals, for the 13 animals. And then archaeologists found the bull about 3 miles away with 2 Clovis points in him. And in a different direction, they found the cow, who had obviously fought to defend those young animals, with 8 Clovis points in her. But as far as it's possible to tell, that group of Clovis hunters killed that entire herd of mammoths, all the young ones, and the herd bull and the cow.
The mastodons, yes, but other large mammals also disappeared. the dire wolf. Did the Clovisians wipe out the dire wolf? And there's a debate here as to what led to this extinction. And I know that climate is part of the debate. But again and again, we return to this willingness to kill beyond need.
Well, the truth is the growing consensus, since most of the other explanations we've advanced. I mean, we've done this a lot, like we've tried to explain climate change by something other than human cause. We've looked for other explanations, like the change of climate at the end of the Pleistocene, like a disease epidemic, all kinds of efforts to explain this in ways other than humans playing a significant role have so far failed, pretty much as they have with climate change in our own time. So the consensus is emerging that humans, as a new addition to this bestiary, were critical. But as you open this particular discussion, we think that other things were going on. For example, it looks as if the dire wolf, for instance, was probably simply outcompeted by gray wolves and so was replaced by an animal that was more fit to the time and the circumstance. And we also think, primarily based on what happened to the last mammoths on Wrangel Island out in the Bering Sea, where mammoths actually survived down to 4,000 years ago, that probably something called genomic meltdown is a part of this story as well. As hunting may have spread populations of animals separately from one another so they could not exchange genetics and were isolated, what happened on Wrangel Island, where the mammoths eventually became extinct without humans or climate playing any role, they simply became extinct because of what's called genomic meltdown. They became so genetically isolated that they were unable to breed and continue. We think that may have happened on the mainland too, as animal populations were pushed into remote areas and weren't unable to exchange genes.
The book is Wild New World, The Epic Story of Animals and People in America. Dan Flores is the author. We're looking now to hunter-gathering in North America, where the large mammals are gone. But this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.